I do this with fear and trepidation because the Lord has already preached the message this morning in a supernatural way. And so I'm not going to bring the teaching that I was going to bring, that I had planned to bring today, but rather just take us to the Word of God as a confirmation of the things that the Lord spoke supernaturally. Matthew chapter 7, please. Sometimes we, you know, the apostle said, echoing what Moses said, that let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And sometimes we have to hear a thing more than once and in more than one way before it really gets down on the inside of our spirit. And the Lord has spoken to us today very directly, and perhaps we could stand a refreshing in His Word on the subject. Matthew 7 and verse 7. These same words came from Him when He was on the earth. Ask. Sometimes you'll get it. Gee, I got a bad translation here then, didn't I? What does yours say? Oh, it does? Ask and it shall be. You mean there are no hidden clause, no fine print in there? Ask and it shall be given you. Seek, maybe you'll find it. Well, that's another one, huh? Ye shall. You know, that's about as strong a word as you can use there. Ye shall find it. Well, what's the matter then if we ain't found it? We didn't seek. We need to keep seeking. What does it mean if it hasn't been given? We either didn't ask or we need to keep on asking. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. So if it hasn't been opened, then either we haven't knocked or we haven't knocked enough. We need to keep on knocking. I'm sorry, guys. I get all hooked up and forget to flip the switch. When we get our wireless back, I'll be so happy. Then Jesus continues this teaching, and He gives an example that men would understand. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? What father among you, if his child ask for a piece of bread, you would give him a stone? Or if he, that is the child, asks a fish, what father is there among you that would give him a snake, a serpent? If ye then being evil, or that word there is really better translated natural, if ye then natural men know how to give good gifts unto your children, the word for gifts there is the Greek word doria, which means presence. Presence. Now when you give a present to someone, why do you give a present? Do you give it because they deserve it? You give it because you want to bless them. That's what presents are for. And when God gives His gifts, He doesn't give them because we deserve. How many of us deserve salvation? Let me see the foolish hands. None of us did. But we received that wonderful gift from God, not because we deserved it. It's a present. It's a gift. If you then, being natural men, know how to give good gifts or good presents unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that, what? Ask Him. Isn't that what He spoke this morning? He said you don't have to ask why, you don't have to ask when, you don't have to ask how. You just ask. You simply ask. And He says in His Word, and He spoke to us prophetically this morning, that it's His desire to give. In fact, in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus said, it is your Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom of heaven. It pleases him to do these things. Now, turn with me to Matthew 21. Now hold your finger at Matthew 7, because I want to come back to that in just a moment. Matthew 21 and 22. This is the verse of Scripture that got me saved. I asked him, but I did not ask him believing. I was asking, please, won't you? But there wasn't any faith mixed with it. And after a number of days, I don't know what would have happened to me if he hadn't done this. But I was in misery for about 3 days after this particular experience. I'd asked him to save me many times, but never quite intensely like this. And in this case, I was actually asking him to baptize me in the Holy Ghost, which he couldn't do because he hadn't saved me yet. I should put it, I hadn't received his salvation yet, would be a more accurate way of understanding where I was. And I was wrestling because I had no assurance in my heart that this had been done, what I'd asked him for. And I was driving home from my office this one day, and I had been in just great turmoil. And I was not going to let go. I understand what it means to ask and keep on asking. I understand what it means to seek and keep on seeking. I know what it means to knock and keep on knocking. And I've learned how to knock until I'm satisfied. You know, a little baby that wants to nurse, there's only one way to shut that baby up. And that's to put him on the instrument. For until he gets what he wants, he will not be quiet. And that's the way it ought to be with believers. You know, if you really believe that your Heavenly Father has what you want and what you need, and that he really loves you enough to want you to have it, then you ought to cry out unto him until you feel that warm liquid going down your throat. And on this particular day, I was in such turmoil, I didn't want to go on living. I mean, I was so desperate that I finally cried out, Lord, I cannot go on like this. I must know, did you or didn't you? I have got to know. And he spoke to me and he said, I have only on rare occasions heard what, not an audible voice, but what is a voice, you know, I mean, he speaks. Nobody else in the car would have heard it, but I heard it. And he said, didn't I say to you in my word that whatsoever you asked me in faith believing, I would do it for you? As real today as it was then. When I heard that, something happened in my heart. Up until then, it was all going on in my head. But at that moment, something happened in my heart. When I heard the Word of God, it was the living Word of a living God. It was Rhema Word for me at that moment. It wasn't a verse out of the Scripture. I knew this verse was in here. But when he put life to it, when he spoke it to my heart, something happened on the inside of my heart, and I made a connection with heaven. And for the first time in my life, thank God not the last time, but for the first time, I felt the power of God. And it went through me like I had reached out and grabbed a high voltage line. I just felt it whoosh, destroy, whoosh. Wonderful, though. You know, good. Good, good, good. And I was saved. Now, I wasn't saved by the power of that presence. I wasn't saved by that experience of feeling. I was saved when my heart said, ah, yes, I understand what you're trying to get across to me. I have to believe it. And my heart believed it. And when I believed it, I passed from death to life. and I haven't been the same since August of 1975. Hallelujah. So I know about asking, and keep on asking till you receive. I know about knocking, and keep on knocking until it's open to you. And I also know that all things, verse 22, Matthew 21, 22, and all things, everybody say all things.
All things.
Whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. You see, lots of people believe in prayer but never get their prayers answered. You can go to Tibet right now today, and you will find the monks in the mountaintop monasteries praying around their prayer wheels. They have given their entire lives to a life of prayer. It's not prayer that touches God. It's not prayer that gets results. It's believing prayer that touches God. It's believing prayer that gets results. You know people, I know people, and you have been there yourself, haven't you? People who have prayed their entire lives through but have never received anything from God. Why? Because the only way you receive from Him is you ask believing. Remember that little baby? That little baby that made everybody in the house miserable until you fixed that meal for him. Because he knows that you've got it. Amen. Why is it, do you think, that when a stranger picks up your baby, that they can't quiet him? You pick up that baby, and he goes, we're almost home. Amen. Isn't that what happens? That child knows. He knows what he needs, and he knows who's got it. And he will give you no peace until you supply it. Now, in the 11th chapter of Luke, in fact, we might go on over there just a moment. And look at this. Verse 1 in Luke 11. Don't worry, the roast will still be there. Someone said, how? I didn't put one in before I left. Maybe I should ask for a show of hands and see where the roasts are, and then we'll know where to head after church. Luke 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. And so this chapter is Jesus teaching on prayer. Now jump down to the 5th verse. He used the Lord's Prayer in between there. And then in the 5th verse, watch this. And he said unto them, he gives an example that they will understand. Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within, that is the friend, shall answer and say, Trouble me not, my door is shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give to you. Midnight now, their neighbors knocking on your door, wanting food to feed some visiting relatives or friends. Verse 8, Jesus said, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now the word importunity there means his impudence, his without bashfulness, his persistence. Now, what is this lesson supposed to teach us? It's teaching us about what? It's teaching us about prayer. They said, teach us how to pray. And he said, of course, you remember the story of the woman and the unjust judge, same thing. And then verse 9, he continues, and basically it's what we read out of Matthew. And I say unto you, ask, and the Greek literally is ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now let me give you an example of something here. There is a teaching abroad in the church and it's good, and I want to harmonize it with what I've just said. That teaching is you ask the Lord one time and never ask Him again, because the time you ask Him again, you're not asking Him in faith. Now, I'm saying to you that that is true, because once you have asked Him in faith, you'll never want to ask Him again. If you can pray the prayer of faith the first time and then leave it alone and wait for Him to answer, that's fine. But if you have not prayed the prayer of faith and you're not satisfied, you understand what I'm saying here? If you're not satisfied in your heart, then you keep on asking. I have a son who once walked with the Lord, is not walking with the Lord now. His wife doesn't know the Lord, and he's got two precious little girls, my granddaughters, and they don't know the Lord. And I'm concerned about them. But I have rolled this over on the Lord. I have prayed about that and rolled that over, and I know that that's taken care of, and that's not something that I am beating on the doors of heaven about. I just know it's okay. There are other things, however, in my life that I'm still banging on heaven's door about, because I know that we haven't made a hookup on that yet. When we get hooked up, then I'll pass from that. Now, let's go back to Matthew again and look at the 11th verse again. Matthew 7:11. Hey, that would make a good name for a convenience store, wouldn't it? Just take the Matthew off and 7-Eleven. You can take that if you want, no charge. Matthew 7:11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? Now, hold your finger there. Let's turn to where Debbie was reading this morning in Psalm 34. And watch how when the Holy Ghost does a service, how He pulls it all together. Psalm 34. And the verse I want is 10, but I want to read 8 again, just because I love it. Since it's so close, we'll just read them all. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord. Somebody tell me what that word fear means. Are we supposed to be afraid of God? You're only afraid of Him If he is still going to send your soul he's going to send you to hell. You better be afraid. But if you're His child, there's no fear. There's no fear in love. Is that right? If you're a sinner, you better fear God. But if you're a child of His, you reverence Him, and that's what this word fear means. There's no want for them that reverence Him, respect Him, and honor Him. The young lions do lack, that is the baby cub lions. They go hungry sometimes. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any what, Debbie? Shall not want any good thing. Why? Because if we ask the Lord, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? Now turn to Psalm 84. There is a great deal of confusion on the part of Christians who, as an act of humility, would think, well, I'm not sure I want to ask the Lord about that because I don't know whether that's something that I should really be asking Him for. And my answer to that would be, first of all, get a good enough acquaintance with the Word of God so that you know what His will for you is. But if you don't know what His will for you is fully, then at least ask this question. Is what I'm asking God to do a good thing? Is it a good thing? Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Now, Debbie read from Psalm 34 that they that trust in the Lord will have good things. Psalm 84:11, the Word tells us that God does not withhold any good thing from us. And Matthew 7, Jesus said, that it pleases God to give good things to his family. And so ask yourself, is it good? Is it good for me to ask for my husband to get saved? Is that a good thing? Is it a good thing for me to ask the Lord to heal my baby? Is that a good thing? Is it a good thing to ask the Lord to supply enough finances that I can buy my family a new pair of shoes so that they don't have to go around with holy shoes? Is that a good thing? Yeah, yeah. Is it a good thing to ask the Lord to provide you a better vehicle so that it's dependable and reliable for you to get to work and get to church and so on? Is that a good thing? Is it a good thing to ask the Lord to give you a job so you'd have to work every Sunday? Some of you aren't listening to me, are you? Let me tell you a little story. There's a story told about President Franklin Roosevelt who got bored with all the diplomatic receptions. And, in formal occasions like that, he's there greeting the people as they come through the line, and everybody just says sweet things, and they don't mean anything. You know, oh, how nice to see you, isn't it wonderful, and so on and so forth. And he got so tired of these platitudes that he decided one night he'd have an experiment. And so as the people were coming through the line, everybody that came through the line, he said, I murdered my grandmother this morning. It's a true story. Everyone that came through the line said, how lovely, sir. So nice to be with you tonight. Only one lady in the whole crowd heard what he said. You know, we have to be careful. We can sit in the church and have the same thing happen to us, can't we? We're so busy nodding our head. Somebody say something stupid and we still nodding our head. Because we're not paying attention. Amen. So it is the Lord's desire. It's his will to bless his children, just as an earthly father would have a desire to bless his kids. And I perceive today, as the Lord is ministering to us, as he speaks to us, what he's trying to do is to develop faith in us. He's trying to develop a confidence in us, not so we can convince him to do something, but so that we will have the faith to receive it done. You know, the Lord was ready to save me the moment I asked him, but he couldn't do it until I believed. You know, if you're here today and there's a need in your life, I'm persuaded that the only thing that separates us from the supply and the provision that God has made for us is either our unwillingness or our inability to believe him for it. I don't find any other reason in the Word of God. And that is certainly not meant to intimidate anybody. I hope it will encourage us to say, wait a minute. Yes, he did. He did provide these things for us. He did make promises for us. I'm not participating in those promises yet. Why am I not participating in the promises yet? Is there something else I could do or should be doing? Amen. And so endeth the reading of the lesson. Does that sound familiar? Now, how many of you is that familiar? Well, I know a few of you came out of very traditional denominational churches then. Well, that's the customary conclusion to the reading of the Word of God. All right, in just a moment now, I'm going to dismiss the service. But before I do, is there anything else that the Lord is wanting to share with us? Anything else that is on your heart that you believe the Lord would have you bring forth, that we don't miss out anything that he wants to provide for us today by way of benefit or blessing or exhortation or edification?